Happy Sabbath and welcome. We are glad to be able to present on this Sabbath on a very important topic. And need to get right into it because there's a lot to cover. We want to jump right into God's Word. Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 through 18 says, "And he calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. What is the number of a man? And his number is 666. A message for this week is entitled COVID-19 Vaccine. Mark of the Beast? Question mark. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to study your word. I thank you, Father God, for being better to us than we are to ourselves. Right now, Lord, I ask for your protection and guidance. In a special way, Lord, I ask that you make me a nail upon the wall, a rusty, sorry nail, Lord. But upon that nail, Lord, I ask that you hang a portrait of Jesus Christ. Let Eric Wallace not be seen or heard instead, Father. Let us hear a word from the throne room of grace. This is our prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. We're going to jump back to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. The scribe, as John pens it, the description of a beast. Revelation 13 and verse 1 says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns. Upon his heads the name of blasphemy. The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." The Bible here describes a power comes out of the sea. The sea represents people, a populated area. Out of this populated area comes a beast with seven heads and ten horns. Each horn has a crown, and upon each head is the name blasphemy. The beast has the attributes of having, looking like a leopard, and have his feet like a bear, and his mouth as a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. This, of course, in Adventist theology, represents papal Rome. The seven heads, like the seven hills of Rome, the ten horns represent seats of power. You could trace back to the ten tribes of Europe. And the sea, of course, represents a multitude of people that this beast comes out of. The parts of the animals that are in verse 2 could be explained away, but they go back to Daniel and the great kingdoms of Daniel chapter 2. The Bible says that the dragon gave this beast his power, his seat, and great authority. Revelation 13 and verse 3 says, "And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Don't have time to get into this today, but we understand that when Napoleon's general, Berthier, captured the Pope in the late 1700s, that there was a deadly wound inflicted upon the papacy. The papacy had had some other pretty serious wounds, starting with the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation, but that was a deadly wound. The world was not the same, but the scripture tells us that this wound would one day be healed, that this beast would have power again in the world. Right now, there are those who are looking to find this beast and looking to find its mark. Where is it? And so some look in many different places. Interestingly enough, as we begin to discuss COVID and its vaccine, there are some who, when they saw that the Congress, the House of Representatives, had a bill that was to, you know, for do some of the testing and work around COVID, the bill number was 6666, four sixes. And there were those who said, man, this response to COVID is the mark of the beast. Then they found that in making vaccines and treatments, there's a compound called luciferin. And, so here, look, this thing is just so obvious that luciferin is being used to make it. And I would agree, it's a weird name to choose. But remember that luce means light. In Spanish, people named luz, L-U-Z, it just means light. And so where it really comes from is actually, you can see in fireflies. I should have had a picture of a firefly up here. But you can see that there's an equation at the bottom on the screen that when this compound loses carbon dioxide, dioxetane, when it loses carbon dioxide, it gives rise to an excited ketone. And when that excited ketone relaxes, it emits light. And this is the chemical compound and chemical process by which fireflies make their light. Powerful stuff. And so luciferin is named whatever it's named, but the truth is that the uniqueness of it is actually found in nature, and probably in its most brilliant form if you think it all the way through. So folk have been worrying about luciferin, and they've been worried about whether or not they're going to have a chip implanted. In one recent talk I gave about the vaccine, people were saying that I'm worried that they're going to implant a microchip. And if they do this, you won't be able to buy or sell. The people have typically, back in the day, it was a barcode, and you could see the three bands of the long bands of the barcode. Folk thought symbolized 666. Now it's like, well, they're going to implant a chip. Some say through the vaccine they're going to implant a chip. And when this happens, you will not be able to buy or sell. And of course, if you really keep up with the world, the way the world exists now, the only reason you would have any chance to buy or sell if the powers that be didn't want you to is because of cash. But without cash, they could easily turn off everything, take your money out of your bank account, turn off your credit cards, debit cards, block you even on the internet. This idea that they're going to implant a chip has come up, and that the vaccine will be used to implant a chip. Revelation 13:16 says, and he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666, which is where we get the 666 from. But this thing says that you'll receive the mark of the beast in your forehead or in your hand. And in other talks, I talk about the fact that your forehead is where the frontal lobe is. And so there are going to be those who knowingly push whatever the mark of the beast is onto others. And others who receive the mark in their hand who will be followers, or those who decide, listen, it's not worth my livelihood. It's not my way. It's not worth my way of life to not follow this thing, this mark of the beast. Revelation 15 and verse 2 says, and I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. Them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. So there is something to gain victory over. There is something that God is requiring us to be victorious over and not succumb to. And here's the thing. Either you receive the mark of the beast or you receive the seal of God. I don't have time to get into that, but you can see that here, that you must gain victory over all of the things that were mentioned. And here's where the challenge comes, because if that's the case and a vaccine is the mark of the beast, then we've got to fight the vaccine tooth and nail. You'd have to put up every defense against it. So let's talk about the vaccine. There's a lot to cover, so we got to keep moving. So here's the vaccine. So in general, let's talk about vaccines. There are a lot of people who have a lot of questions about vaccines and concerns, and that's understandable. You're giving a healthy person basically a premedicating them almost with an antidote to something they may not ever even get. So there are a lot of people who say, you know, why vaccinate if, you know, there's a risk? Where's the benefit? And, of course, as we'll talk about, the reason any of us can, or most of us, can question getting a vaccine is because we live in countries, especially here in like the United States and Canada, Europe, where we have herd immunity. So even if you chose not to get vaccinated or chose not to vaccinate your child would be safe because most of these diseases can't spread because not enough people can get it. That's called herd immunity. So ironically, the reason vaccines can be questioned is because of the effectiveness of vaccines. Well, how effective have vaccines been? If you look at this slide here, in the pre-vaccine era, an estimated annual morbidity in the United States, you can see diphtheria's annual morbidity has been decreased by 100%. Nobody dies of diphtheria basically anymore. Haemophilus influenza, 99%. Barely ever happens. And some of the deaths that I've read about actually happened in kids who were not vaccinated. Hepatitis A, down 91%. Hepatitis B, down 83%. Measles deaths, down 99%. And there was a time when measles deaths annually were, you know, in the tens of thousands, as you can see here. Mumps, down 99%. Pertussis, down 89%. And pneumococcal disease, which can affect even more age groups theoretically, down 74% of deaths from that. So that's interesting. So in before and after vaccines. So one of the best known vaccines to have ever worked is the one against smallpox. And in this one, we saw where once the cases of smallpox in this country were astronomical, and now there is no smallpox. In fact, people don't even vaccinate against it anymore because it doesn't exist. It is now technically a biological weapon. Someone released smallpox in a mall or in a church or, you know, on a plane, no one except maybe some military folk or maybe some public health people or medical people would be vaccinated. Nobody else would be, and it would spread like wildfire. So smallpox killed 300 million people in the 20th century. That's probably more people died of smallpox than all of the wars of the last century combined. It was eliminated through vaccination. Powerful kind of testament to vaccines. In fact, we'll talk about Ellen White's views a little bit, and more importantly, her experience with smallpox vaccine in a second. So what about vaccines? One of the big scariest diseases was paralytic polio. This is the paralytic polio notifications where someone was paralyzed, and the other one is deaths from 1912 to 2000. You can see by the mid-1960s, basically polio itself was basically no longer, and this is in England and Wales and the United Kingdom, just didn't happen anymore. And this is because of vaccines, and that's polio, which I remember having a teacher in the second grade. She was an older lady, and she had polio and still had her brace and walked with a brace. Polio damaged a lot of children when it was running rampant in the world. Polio cases in the United States, basically the same thing. You can see when the first vaccine came out compared to the second vaccine, the oral polio vaccine in 1961, and then now we basically don't even think about it. And one of the reasons, of course, you can question vaccines also is, I mean, if smallpox was still going around, you'd want to be vaccinated against it, probably. And polio, right? Nobody would want a child to risk getting polio and becoming paralyzed or having other problems or death. And so these vaccines showed that vaccination can work. And clearly, vaccinations can have their issues for a lot of reasons. I mean, anytime there's profit tied to anything, it can have its issues. But as we walk through it, we'll see. So here's what D.E. Robinson said, one of Mrs. White's secretaries, on the date of June 12, 1931. She wrote as follows: concerning Mrs. White's attitude toward vaccination, you asked for definite and concise information regarding what Sister White wrote about vaccination and serum. This question can be answered very briefly, for so far as we have any record, she did not refer to them in any of her writings. So she never really mentioned them, Ellen White. But the lady goes on, the secretary goes on to say, you will be interested to know, however, that at a time when there was an epidemic of smallpox in the vicinity, she herself was vaccinated and urged her helpers, those connected with her, to be vaccinated. In taking this step, Sister White recognized the fact that it has been proven that vaccination either renders one immune from smallpox or greatly lightens its effects if one does come down with it. She also recognized the danger of their exposing others if they fail to take this precaution. So sounds like from this, and you can find us on the Ellen G. White Estate website, Ellen White understood the principle of why vaccinations exist, how it is they could have saved so many lives. There's somebody else I saw sent me something on the internet. Someone saying that Ellen White's son was harmed by vaccines. But you have to understand, Ellen White died in 1915. The modern vaccinations really don't come on the scene until the late 1920s. So her son would have been more than a grown man and probably not gotten any vaccination anywhere near anything that we do now. Take that with a grain of salt. Compared to the information we have about vaccines today. Autism and vaccines. So, of course, this is one of the big reasons a lot of people don't want to vaccinate. But, of course, there was an article published in The Lancet, the British Journal of Medicine, probably one of the most prestigious, if not the most prestigious, medical journal in the world. And it was published in the last 15 years. Saying that, you know, connection between MMR, measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, which was all tied into one vaccination in about 1971, and that this thing caused autism. And so that caught fire, and a lot of people really began to push against vaccines. But later on, that was retracted, and many of the authors themselves pulled back from it, and it has basically been debunked. Later on, they said, well, that may be true, but the CDC has data that says African-American boys who get MMR wind up with more autism. And that article is also retracted. It's difficult. You know, can you trust the medical literature? Well, we trust the medical literature when it says that Seventh-day Adventists live longer because of our diet. We trust the medical literature when it tells you that, broccoli is good for you and meat is bad for you, which overall the medical literature says, or the medical literature condemns cigarettes and alcohol, and there's a lot of money tied to cigarettes, alcohol, and other unhealthy things, yet the medical literature usually holds true. So it's difficult to believe it when you want to believe the medical literature and not believe it when you don't want to believe it. So here the medical literature retracted these two articles saying that they were both false. So then enter the coronavirus. And I would show you here that these are the cases in the United States and in the world since it came out. I won't get into the numbers except to tell you clearly we have seen some drastic numbers. I think in the United States, I forget the case number we're up to, but it's staggering how many people have come down with the coronavirus in the United States. And worldwide, it's also a staggering caseload. I know globally there's been about 2 million deaths. I think that's here. Over 2 million deaths around the world. Over 420,000 deaths in the United States and millions of cases. Brazil is second with 214,000 deaths. And the United Kingdom with 94,000 deaths. Remember, the United States has about 340 million people-ish. UK has about 70 million, maybe a little more people. So it's proportional in some ways. I mean, you'd have to do the math to the size of countries. America's not the biggest country. China is, and it does not show on here, which is interesting because that's where it was first found. But globally, 2 million deaths from this virus. Now, there are some who say, well, this isn't really true because they subscribed some of these deaths to COVID. That really should have been something else. I say even if you took 20% off, still a staggering number of deaths. And many of us know people who have died from this virus. And as a physician, I've seen people get sick, wind up in the ICU, and not make it out. So it is a real disease, and it is a real problem. And so the idea that you can just getting the virus isn't a big deal, it's a roll of the dice. It's a risk because even some people who seem younger and healthier. We had a family here in the state of Connecticut where I live where mother and father died of COVID and left their, I think, 12 and 10-year-old sons orphaned, all in, you know, a span of like 2 or 3 weeks. So it is real. And it works pretty powerfully by using spike proteins to come in and to attach to the ACE2 receptors in the lungs and in the intestines, and that's why so many of the symptoms are respiratory or GI. You can lose taste and smell, so those are higher up, and it's caused by inflammation around the cells that cause you to be able to smell things. And in the lungs, of course, when it happens, it causes some serious problems that maybe we'll look at in a minute. But in the intestines, it also does the same thing, and so that's why you can get the nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. When it gets bad, you go into an acute inflammation phase, a cytokine storm. We talked about this earlier or last year as we were talking about these things. And either your body has an immune system that can recognize this cascade of inflammation through the cytokine storm and turn it down, or it can't. And many people with pre-existing conditions or older in age cannot turn it down, and hence the inflammation gets so bad, fills up the lungs, the alveoli, as we'll show in a minute, and someone has serious trouble breathing, and it can lead to death. That's one of the ways it can lead to death. It can cause problems with the kidneys, but it causes a lot of problems. And so we know it's a disease of hyperinflammation. So Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 7, "For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." Right? So there's going to be famines, there's going to be pestilences. And so pestilence, and that's where we are. There are going to be outbreaks of diseases. We are 100 years away from what was called the Spanish flu. That's a horrible name for the influenza of 1918, 1919. But 100 years away, basically, and we have another one. And there were some in between. They call one the Hong Kong flu. They should not really name these things after places, I believe. But one called the Hong Kong flu, and there have been, you know, the swine flu, and other things have come up, but the one, the bookends of the 100 years that started in 1918, 1919 flu to this coronavirus have been both pretty significant, both global, both killing lots of people. Quote-unquote Spanish flu killing as many as 50 million people globally. Of course, they did not have the medical technology we have today to try and save people. And they didn't even understand as well how to prevent it from spreading. So this is biblical. The Bible says pestilence will come. In fact, Revelation 21 says, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." This angel had the vials that contained the seven last plagues. If there are seven last plagues, as we've said before, that means there's probably going to be some plagues before the seven last ones. So we are looking at those plagues, these diseases that would come upon the earth, and COVID, I believe, is one of them. And I'll say, like I said it many times before, I do not believe COVID is punishment. I believe the coronavirus is a warning to be careful to trust the things of this world, the ways of this world, the governments of this world, all of the things of the world. You got to be careful in trusting them. And I'm not talking about now medicine or vaccines. I'm talking thinking that they will be able to protect you from everything that happens. Because as you can see, even if everything was to go well from now going forward, you have seen the world scramble to try and respond to an invisible virus. We've read this before, but Ellen White says in the book The Great Controversy, "Satan works through the elements also to garner his harvest of unprepared souls. He has studied the secrets of the laboratories of nature, and he uses all his power to control the elements as far as God allows. He imparts to the air a deadly taint, and thousands perish by the pestilence." Did you get that? The Satan imparts to the air a deadly taint, and thousands perish by the pestilence. "These visitations are to become more and more frequent and disastrous. Destruction will be upon both man and beast. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The haughty people do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof." Why? Because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Isaiah 24, 4 and 5. This is from the Great Controversy, page 589. As man moves further and further away from the obedience to God, As man decides that he is a god unto himself, as idolatry and revelry and blasphemy against the creator of heaven, as it increases in the world, God is not a guest who will overstay his welcome, and he will begin to withdraw his spirit from this earth. And as he does, the enemy of our souls will gain more power, and more terrible things will happen. There are a lot of ways for the enemy to do these things. And one of the biggest things, of course, is the panic that this coronavirus has caused. So we know that masks and social distancing probably works, and we know this because there's been so little flu, so little influenza and RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, just hasn't been spreading around the world. The nation of Israel has said that they haven't had, I read an article where they haven't tested one person positive for the flu, which is kind of shocking in the flu season. But there's a lot of damage to the psyche of people over the fear that's created by a pandemic. And so we all have to take a deep breath. Remember 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. At the end of the day, fear is a poor motivator. It'll cause you to make bad decisions. So what we're not being told, I'll say this quickly before we get a little deeper into the vaccine stuff. What we're not being told, of course, is that if this is a pro-inflammatory disease, there are phytochemicals, and you can see quercetin is here. There are a list of other ones, medicinal plant compounds, natural implants that will actually protect people from these things. And you can look at making sure you eat a lot of dark leafy veggies, dark berries, and grapes, like blackberries, blueberries, dark grapes. Fiber is protective. There's a study showing people with higher fiber levels are less affected by COVID. Onion, garlic, and turmeric. Turmeric is anti-inflammatory in its properties. Quercetin and zinc, which you can find. Elderberries have a lot of quercetin, but quercetin is in a lot of other foods as well. Won't get into that this time, but to tell you that, in fact, there is something you can do. There's ways to protect ourselves. So whether or not you want vaccination or not, there is, God has given us his health laws, and they are protective. Here, vitamin D and COVID, right? How does vitamin D protect against COVID? We've been seeing these studies showing that people with higher vitamin D levels do better against COVID. Well, vitamin D binds, there are two arms to the immune system. There's the innate immunity and the adaptive immunity. And in the innate immunity, that which just kind of attacks everything, you have neutrophils, macrophages. Vitamin D binds to these cells and facilitates gene expression that makes these cells better at killing pathogens. Vitamin D is important to your immune system. Vitamin D and COVID, adaptive immunity. Well, here's the alveoli I mentioned earlier. So that gets full of fluid. You get all this inflammation from the cytokine storm we talked about earlier. Vitamin D decreases the inflammation. So as vitamin D calms the adaptive immune system, cytokine levels drop, inflammation is decreased. So if you don't have enough vitamin D, meaning you haven't been exposed to enough sun, or you're not taking a supplement, if you live somewhere where there's not much sun here in the northern parts of the U.S., Canada, or Europe, if you're not taking it, you're at risk of having more of not being able to turn off that inflammatory response. Why do older people have trouble with vitamin D? The thinner skin isn't as good at making the vitamin D. And for those of us with darker skin, it's harder to make vitamin D as well. Stress contributes to this. This is why, as we look at it, keeping yourself from having high stress levels, because when you have high stress levels, you release cortisol, and cortisol is important in turning down the inflammatory response of the immune cells. But when it's always high, you get resistance, and those inflammatory immune cells do not respond to it anymore, and eventually you get adrenal exhaustion, and of course, then you can't respond to stress, and then you get increased stress, and it's a big cycle. So having a lot of stress makes it so that your body's natural system of keeping the inflammation from an immune response, like one to COVID, keeping it in check so it doesn't get so bad that you get the full alveoli and the whole cytokine storm. If you're always stressed out, always in a state of fight or flight, you will not be able to respond. And so you combine the panic and stress of a pandemic with the bad diet of Americans, and you start to see why this disease is running wild and why so many people have been injured and put in danger because of it. Matthew 11 says this, talking about stress. Matthew 11, 28 says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Leviticus 23 and verse 3, to really bring this home for Sabbath-keeping Christians, 6 days shall work be done. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. In other words, you are given a day to rest, to let your cortisol levels fall as you focus on God, the one who will bear your burdens. The Sabbath itself is therapeutic because leaning on Christ is therapeutic. So what do you not want to eat? I'll just throw this in here real quick. I know we're running out of time. Here it is. Refined sugars, saturated fats, trans fats you don't want to eat, dairy, refined carbohydrates, white rice, white bread, most of the chips and stuff you find at the store. Alcohol, of course, is pro-inflammatory. And if you're eating lots of omega-6 fatty acids, but not enough balance with omega-3s, you're also going to have a pro-inflammatory state. Don't have time to get into this today. But just to mention all of that before we jump to the COVID vaccine. And, of course, when President Trump launched this, he called it Operation Warp Speed, something I think President Biden has already taken that name off of it. And President Trump promised that before the end of last year, there would be vaccines. He was actually laughed at a bit, and turns out he was two or three vaccines came out before the end of the year. So the warp speed worked. We have vaccines. And here are the major ones that we're looking at now. There are a lot more that we can talk about, but here are the major ones. Oxford, AstraZeneca, from out of a British virus, British vaccine maker, the viral vector genetically modified virus. They injected you with two doses. The effectiveness is 62% to 90%. And so that one is not for use in here in the United States yet. I don't know where it is, but it's not in the United States. The two in the United States are Moderna and Pfizer, BioNTech, which are both American-made products. Pfizer partners with a German company. So those two are both RNA, messenger RNA, and this is where a lot of people start saying, we are going to be genetically modified. That's what the vaccine does. This is new vaccine technology. That is the truth. But notice the effectiveness, 95% effective. They have to be stored at very cold temperatures because the mRNA is fragile, and these are the most expensive ones, the two American ones. And, of course, there's one Russian one that is about 92% effective, which uses a viral vector as well. But the two listening to this would be offered would be Moderna's or Pfizer's. So how does it work? Well, what they do is they take the spike protein I talked about earlier, and they take it, and they once they knew the genetic sequence of the virus, they got that early on, like back in March or April of last year, they went to work. They strung it out, and I've taken biochemistry and genetic and genetics and other classes when I was an undergrad and in medical school, and it's coded, it's all code. They run out the code, and what they did is they made messenger RNA, put it in a lipid nanoparticle. So somebody said that they turn you into robots because these are nanoparticles. But this is not Marvel. This is not Tony Stark. it doesn't work like that. This is a lipid case, which is fat, because fat can cross through the cell wall because the cell wall in your body is fat. When it gets inside the cell, as you can see here, the synthetic mRNA is packaged in lipid, gets it inside the cell. The instructions are then given, and what it does inside the cell is it borrows the cell's machinery, and it makes spike protein and spits that out. So once your body sees just the spike protein, not the whole virus, now your body can have antibodies to the part of the virus that actually connects to you in the ACE2 receptors we talked about earlier and causes infection. So it is a virus. It is a vaccine. I hear people saying this is not a vaccine. That's because they're used to old school vaccines. It's like saying a Tesla is not a car because it doesn't have a gas engine. Just because it's a new way of making a car doesn't mean it's not still a car. It's the same thing. It's the new way of making a vaccine. Is it controversial? Is it almost You know, is it new? Absolutely. But the technology has existed probably for about 20 years. Remember the first coronavirus that came out was SARS back in the early 2000s. People have been working on these things since then. So it's not completely new. People, this technology has been around and been used in other parts of medicine. It's an African-American young lady at Moderna who was at the one of the key people who helped to make this vaccine, for those people who think it was made to harm specifically African-Americans. That seems to not be the case, because these vaccines actually are being rich white people, are trying to buy the vaccine and get it. So it'd be kind of interesting if it's designed to kill people, that the rich people will do anything to get it early. But that's how the vaccine basically works. And so it goes into the cytoplasm, not into the nucleus. So this is where the DNA is. Now, the AstraZeneca, the British one, does go into the nucleus, but we're promised that it doesn't mess up the DNA. The two American versions, neither of them entered into the nucleus. They go into the cytoplasm, and then they spit out the spike proteins. The mRNA cannot last forever. Remember, they had to drive the mRNA around, the vaccine around, it's got to be stored at insanely cold temperatures. Your body is very warm, so this thing won't just live forever in your body. It'll get used up, and you create the response you want, and people will have an immune response to the coronavirus. There's some concern because of the new variants that have been found, but the vaccine does work. It does what it says it's going to do. It's going to take a few years to get all of the data to understand fully what everything means, who doesn't do well with it, who does do well with it. That's going to take some time. I'm allergic to papayas. So, you know, you could say no one, if you took me as a case study, you'd say papaya is a poison fruit. Nobody in the world should eat a papaya. Nothing kills more people nothing kills like car accidents kill. Thousands of people die every year from cars, and yet all of us get in our cars and drive. Life is a risk-benefit whole ratio. And I do not believe, because they say that this vaccine is 95% effective, the Moderna and Pfizer, that means that you should allow people to choose whether or not they get it. Because those who are at highest risk would be able to get it and be protected, and it really wouldn't matter as much if those who are very low risk of getting sick from it got it, or at least that theoretically that would make sense. If you want herd immunity, you would want more people to get it, but it seems to me that the real big thing with coronavirus is keeping the hospitals from being overwhelmed and keeping the deaths down. And the vaccines can do that without being mandated against people. So at this stage of the argument, I would say there's no reason to mandate the vaccine either. So I'm not telling you to get the vaccine. I'm not telling you not to get the vaccine. I am speaking to whether or not this vaccine is the mark of the beast, and we're going to talk more about that here in a second. So far, around the world, the vaccine has been given out in large amounts. You can see per 100 people, Israel is leading the way, followed by the United Arab Emirates, followed by the United Kingdom. America's down at number 5. Israel is like 1.82 per 100 people. Almost 2 people out of every 100 has already been vaccinated. And they're getting data from this and learning. And they've already found that, in fact, yes, if you're vaccinated, it's a significant drop in the chance that you would actually contract the coronavirus. Some folk have said, and we'll talk about this more in a second, that there's like pork in the vaccine. If there was, the Muslim countries would not give this vaccine. And as you can see, the United Arab Emirates is number 2 actually in the count. How many doses total? In the world already, over 60 million doses of the vaccine have been given. In the United States, already a 19.11 million. And that number's already higher. This is from like late last week. But bottom line is millions of people are getting this. And let me say this. If you give millions of people anything, somebody's going to have a bad reaction. For example, if you give millions of people papaya, somebody's going to be allergic. So these things aren't perfect. Remember, we live in a sinful world, and some people will not react well to it, just like millions of people are not reacting well to the coronavirus infection, not the vaccine, but the actual virus. Millions of people are dying from it. So you have to look at where would the benefit be? This is how the public health people are thinking, and why the vaccine is being promoted, because they're looking at it. If you vaccinate 100 million people, you know, maybe, you know, a very small percentage, 0.00001% of people have a problem with it. But if 100 million people get the actual disease, you know, 2 million people might die. So they're looking at, that's what they're looking at. And that's why the vaccine gets what it gets. And we as Adventists have to be very careful. We are being pushed as conspiracy theorists. And so if the danger of that, of course, is we have as we're going to talk about in the second half of this, we have a conspiracy theory that many people are very worried about. You know, this here's the this is from, I think, the Daily Beast came out against the Seventh-day Adventist Church, how a new religion could rise from the ashes of QAnon, throwing us in with QAnon, which isn't good, refuting Daily Beast's attack on SDA. Somebody actually came back. And they're basically saying, look, out of a great disappointment came the Seventh-day Adventist Church, a bunch of conspiracy theorists that believe that one day there's going to be a Sunday law and you're going to be punished if you don't keep Sunday sacred, or if you're, you know, and they're going to try and force all these things. And so they accuse us of being conspiracy theorists. And this is why you have to be careful. We have to be very careful. I heard somebody talking about a lady said, an Adventist doctor was, quote unquote, doctor was saying that when you do the COVID test, they rub your nose and they leave particles of metal in your nose. And these particles are then connected to the 5G network. I said, what? Where I work, we test people for coronavirus. It's just basically a Q-tip, the same Q-tip we've been using for the flu and for strep throat, and you know, one of the, there's only a few of them we choose from. We've been doing that for decades. There's no different. There's no pieces of metal. There's no 5G network connection. But when we take these into, and when we as Adventists talk these things and promote these things, and we're not thinking critically, we give ammunition to those who are going to one day accuse us of not being rational, sensible people. There's a danger in this. We've got to be careful because we know hard times are coming upon our people, and we've got to be careful in spreading lies and misstatements. How we say things, we have to be careful because one day when we don't want to be crying a wolf now, and one day no one listens to us because we're viewed as outcasts, which many already view us as. Of course, Matthew 24:7 says, "For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places." This prophecy has been fulfilled. Matthew 24:8 says, "All these are the beginning of sorrows." We are got to be prepared. We can't become conspiracy theorists. We've got to be prepared. Matthew 24:9 says it like this, talking about the beginning of sorrows. "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." Matthew 24:21 says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Matthew 24:11 says, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. There is a great time of tribulation, a great time of affliction coming against the people of God. And there are many who say, we are crazy to believe this, that one day the religious freedoms of this country would disappear. They say that we are conspiracy theorists. I'll show you more in a second, even for believing in a Sunday law, that one day we could be forced to keep Sunday holy. And I guess they forget that America's already had that history. They're called blue laws. They still exist. And if you go back and study the history, people were persecuted for not reverencing the Sunday laws, the blue laws of this country. And they're not looking at what we'll talk about in a second, countries like Poland, where these laws are actually being advanced even now. So we are ridiculed once again for believing this. But this is what we believe. And we don't believe it in a vacuum. It's historical as well as it is in process in the world today. But there's a deceptive nature that has to go out. In order to fool us and fool the world, there's a deceptive piece that has to go out. The Bible says that there are going to be false prophets, that they will deceive many. In the days of Jeremiah, it was the false prophets that convinced the people of Jerusalem not to prepare for the Babylonian invasion, to accept what God was about to do to them as punishment. False prophets said everything was going to be fine, just as they will say now. Just as they attack Jeremiah, they will attack us. Revelation 16 breaks this down. It says, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So here you have these three things, and we won't get into what they mean, but I will say that these unclean spirits like frogs come out. And what are these unclean spirits like frogs? For they are the spirits of devils. They're working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Powerful stuff. In other words, these three spirits, these unclean spirits will go out. They will work miracles. They will deceive the kings, the leaders of the world, and gather them together to the great to battle. Look at what Jesus says. To tell you the timing, I believe this gives you a hint as to when all of this demonic deception is going to happen. Verse 15 says, "Behold, I come as a thief." In other words, it's coming at this time. If you allow yourself to be deceived, remember in Matthew 24, Jesus says to his disciples, when they ask him, "When will the end of the world be?" He says, "Do not be deceived." The word for deceived in the Greek is planeo. Do not be planeo. Do not be deceived. Here he says, "I come as a thief." Thief doesn't tell you when he's coming. He comes when you least expect it. "Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." In other words, these deceptions are assigned themselves. The fact that folk will not believe the things that God is saying, that they will fall prey to the miracles and the deceptions of these demonic spirits, these are the things that will happen and cause many to be lost. Three unclean spirits. Number one, spiritualism. We've talked about this before and last year. Number two, apostate Protestantism. Number three, papal Rome. Well, show you some of the slides from some of the other talks. Number one, spiritualism is on the rise. Here is the Time magazine cover from the 1970s, the occult revival. We've talked about that before. Here's another one, music and the occult, how the occult saved rock and roll. Embedded in the culture of the United States and the world, occultism has taken its root by getting into the music. The Rolling Stones song, Sympathy for the Devil, and many others. I mean, I could go on and on. There's so many songs where references the devil and the occult, and magic and witchcraft and all of these different things. It is even in the entertainment we watch, shows like Charmed and, of course, series like Harry Potter. We talked about this before. Why witchcraft is on the rise. Americans' interest in spellcasting tends to wax as instability rises and trust in establishment ideas plummets. So as these things happen, that's what the Atlantic says. People stop trusting traditional values. What traditional? Judeo-Christian, biblical values. People stop to trust those. They turn to something else. These devils, these spirits of deception. Why millennials are ditching religion for witchcraft and astrology. And tumultuous political times. The 18 to 30 demographic is reaching for the stars. And I've read before where the fastest growing religions in the United States are Wicca and witchcraft, and you can see that it's happening. Why? Because of what Hollywood does with shows like Coco. We talked about this before. Same exact slide. Ghost and Maleficent. And I won't get into this except to say all of these things teach that the dead are not really dead, that you can conjure them up. And if you can do that, you allow demons to get great power. You can get and to speak to people. Maleficent turns the villain into the good guy. Which is what Sympathy for the Devil is actually all about. You see the horns and all this stuff. Remember Baphomet and all that stuff. So it's all there. Disney Pixar came out with a movie on Christmas Day called Soul and showed you how you can go to heaven, come back, and all this kind of stuff. So this is spiritualism, and it is on the rise. And to me, it connects all these other things because apostate Protestantism believes that you don't really die when you die. They believe you're going to burn in hell forever or be in heaven forever. They believe that there's ways you can communicate across that, even though they don't believe you should, most of them. But apostate Protestantism is also dangerous. You can see here people praying over Donald Trump on the left. All of the preachers who mocked and laughed that Donald Trump would never be unseated, that he would win the election. They prophesied and predicted. I mean, there's a whole video of just all these popular preachers, evangelicals saying that, and they were all wrong. He's not the president anymore. False prophets. And here you say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for President Trump. Mixing, commingling Christianity with politics is a sign of the end. Here's one that was really scary in the Capitol building when these guys invaded this guy, shirtless guy, I think he was the one that had the moose horns on, praying in the Capitol to Jesus as they tore up the place and took over the place and, you know, just didn't look good for Christians, in my opinion. But these are the things that will happen. People are going to think that their religion and their patriotism are inexplicably and linked and cannot be separated, and that is dangerous. We are not of this world. We are of the kingdom of the living God. We are citizens there first. So when people get this caught up in the politics of this world, as if a man can save them, they are choosing Barabbas like Israel did at the time of the crucifixion. And you've got to be careful doing that. And I don't care if it's a white Barabbas or a black Barabbas. It's a Barabbas all the same. And this is the danger of not understanding prophecy and thinking Israel is the center of all end-day prophecy when she is not. Revelation 13, 11 and 12 says, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. This is apostate Protestantism's major land, the United States of America being described. Two horns like a lamb, seemed like a Christian entity, a lamb, the horns as power, but it spoke like a dragon, and America has spoken like a dragon from its inception. They said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, while they had slaves. America's been speaking like a dragon, but her dragon voice will only get louder and stronger as time goes on, and will be perfected against those who hold the cross there, regardless of what they look like. Verse 12, and he exercised all the power of the first beast, which we already talked about, before him, and caused the earth and them that dwell thereon to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. So this beast is going to set up people to worship the first beast. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. In an image, this is where we believe Sunday sacredness and false religion will come in, setting up this image to that beast. Revelation 13, 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And here's why we believe persecution is coming, as Matthew 24 tells us. Verse 16 of Revelation 13, and he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he hath had the mark of or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that understand count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. Leads us to the last of the three unclean spirits, Papal Rome. And you can see the flag of the United Nations back there as power is given. And I stood on the stand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. We read this already. And the dragon, the scripture says in verse 2, gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. And one of his heads were wounded to death. His deadly wound was healed. And here's the part I want to get to. And all the world wondered after the beast. Something happens after 1798 when Berthier conquers the Vatican and takes the Pope captive. Then something happens that not only is it healed, but the whole world wonders. And I'm telling you right now, even the atheist Bill Maher, in one comment I read from him, was enamored with the Pope. On and on. I mean, right now the world is truly wondering after the beast. Healing America. This is Vatican News. Time to heal wounds in the United States. This is just before the last inauguration. So the Vatican is saying, look, it's time to heal America. Who's going to heal America? How are they going to heal America? Well, you can know that this is only the second Catholic Pope in American history. And you can see that Biden has met with the Pope more than once. That's Biden and his sister meeting the Pope before. The Pope and Biden to me are like, are very similar in temperament and in vision and in views. The Catholics, but they seem to both be have views that some of the Catholics might not agree with. And you can see that there is already this connection between the most powerful man on earth, the President of the United States, we always say, and who probably really is the most powerful man on earth, the Pope. And there's this powerful connection here. As we move forward, things are going to begin to change, because even the Supreme Court, we've talked about this before, is seven Catholics, nine out of the nine jurors. So there's power there that if there's a law that came up and there was any allegiance that needed to be to the Pope, it'd be very difficult to say that folk wouldn't have allegiance to the Pope. When John F. Kennedy was president, he wrote out a beautiful diatribe about how he of the separation of church and state, and how he would not be loyal to the edicts of Rome. He would do what was best for America, basically. And, you know, of course, he unfortunately didn't survive very long as president, but he understood that. And you will see if anyone today would say that's those same words. But of course, the Pope has an agenda. We've talked about this before, the threat to the environment. I urgently appeal a dialogue about how we're shaping the future of our planet. The first thing that Joe Biden has done in coming to office is done executive order after executive order around the environment, slashing the Keystone Pipeline, which cost thousands of jobs. You can argue for or against it. I'm not making a case for or against the Keystone Pipeline, but instantaneously slashing all kinds of jobs on the pipeline that would have brought crude oil from Canada. And so the instantaneous environment is back front and center. And so we are seeing that through this, the belief in the environment, one of the things that would happen is that you'd have a Sabbath for the poor and for the environment, and all of a sudden these things could happen. There are those who are given hint that they understand this stuff better than others. This is David Steiner, who released a book called A Bipolar Winter, a fiction novel based on historical facts. And in The Bipolar Winter, this is a former Seventh-day Adventist, now looks like a conservative or Orthodox Jew, who says he was raised Seventh-day Adventist, but he had to walk away from it because Seventh-day Adventists believe some things that he just couldn't agree with. His father was an Adventist minister, I believe. And here's the kind of the plot of this book, The Bipolar Winter. Historian Aldo Lombardi is a recent graduate of the Pontifical Gregorian University, summoned to appear before Pope Benedict. Allison Gillespie is an investigator whose assignment leads her to Aldo and a 500-year-old secret whose discovery may unravel the fabric of the Christian faith. The pair must uncover the truth behind the secret and reveal what the leaders of the modern Seventh-day Adventist Church know that could destroy the Catholic Church. It's a race against time to discover the truth before hundreds of millions of followers are thrown into chaos, and before a rogue sect unleashes a global cataclysm to fulfill its founder's doomsday prophecy. Powerful. A book, and I haven't read the book. I may actually read it just because I'd love to see what he says about Adventists in it. But here, this book is basically saying that some sect, some group of believers, is going to try to cause cataclysmic collapse of the world. Isn't that interesting? It's literally what Ellen White says, that Adventists will be blamed for the troubles coming upon the world through natural disasters and other things like pestilences when we do not keep Sunday sacred. And hence, there will be an increase in the level of persecution against Seventh-day Adventists because people believe that. And here, this guy's basically writing something very similar in his book, just based on the summary of the book. And so, yes, they're looking for a new Sabbath. Some say, yeah, we're crazy to believe this. But look, Poland is expanding its Sunday laws, reducing the number of days, Sundays, where people can buy and sell, pushing the limit on Sunday laws. And many in America, this is the National Catholic Register in America, that says, taking Sunday seriously, Poland leads the way. Poland is pushing and expanding Sunday law restrictions. The Great Controversy says it like this, page 445. The beast with two horns causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Revelation 13, 16 and 17. The third angel's warning is, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. The beast mentioned in this message, whose worship is enforced by the two-horned beast, is the first or leopard-like beast of Revelation 13, the papacy. The image of the beast represents the form of apostate Protestantism, which will be developed when the Protestant churches shall seek the aid of the civil power for the enforcement of their dogmas. The mark of the beast still remains to be defined. Ultimately, the mark of the beast will be around worship. And we often say it's Sunday laws and Sunday worship. That is how it manifests, but it's deeper than that. Who is going to really, truly worship the one true God the way that God tells them to worship him? That's what the mark of the beast is all about. If you reject that, you receive that mark. If you worship him in truth and develop the character of Christ, you receive the seal of the living God. So let me tell you, we end with this. We must all be vaccinated. But we need to be vaccinated against deception, first and foremost. We need to know our Bibles. We need to be careful not to get caught up in distractions around, you know, some people have spent all their energy around vaccines and are not preparing their hearts for the Lord's soon coming. They're not getting ready. They're so caught up in the things of this world and the issues of this world and the politics of this world that they're not really preparing for the soon coming of our Lord. The real question is, will your anchor hold? Are you developing the mind of Christ? Are you becoming more and more like him? That's the real issue, church. And all of a lot of these other things are just deceptions. And we get caught up in the activism for this and that, and we start to fight against this and that because we want this secret information. We want to know more than everyone else. We want to unleash the conspiracies, and we don't understand that the greatest conspiracy is right in front of you. Satan is working to distract us away from what is really important so that we focus on side issues and miss the mark. Be vaccinated against deception. Receive the seal of God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to study your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would just bless these messages. And Father God, help us to be ready to make wise decisions around vaccines. Lord, these vaccines are not salvific. But Lord, your word is. And if we try and make vaccines into what they are not, we may miss what really is important. We are watching the world turn into a different place, with new standards and rules, watching your word and your law be erased, men's minds fully corrupted, your spirit being withdrawn. Lord, help us to focus on having the mind of Christ, to have your character, Lord, to be like you in covenant relationship. This is our prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.